pictured this recording studio somewhere far, far away.
The Merry White House Experience. Thank you, thank you. Now, I'd like to say at this stage that nothing in this programme is at all risque, near the bone, offensive or even satirical. In fact, we'll be spending most of the time talking about the weather. And speaking of the weather, I must say it's been a very, very mild winter. You can tell that because there are so many pensioners still around. My name's David Baddiel, and this is Punt and Dennis.
The Merry White House Experience.
Picture this.
This week, a strike was threatened at the BBC, possibly blacking out programmes from Monday. The Merry White House Experience has been looking back through the years at some of the incidents of industrial action which the BBC has faced in the past.
One which still sticks in the memory of corporation executives is the great Doctor Who monsters dispute of the early 70s. In 1973, the series almost ground to a halt when the Daleks unanimously walked out. In itself, very unusual for Daleks. After scuffles in which the police were accused of attacking the picket line with sonic screwdrivers, the leader of the Dalek Union, Mr. Bobby Davros, refused to speak to reporters, choosing instead to vaporise them with a neutrino destructor beam. However, Mr. Davros eventually issued a statement when he trundled out of TUC headquarters and down the steps. Excuse me, about this new management offer...
Frankly, derisory.
But do you think that...
Frankly, derisory.
Yes, but are you going
Frankly,
to...
Frankly, derisory. Negotiate.
Soon the dispute spread. Within a week, the Sea Devils, the Macra, the Silurians and the blobby green thing with a completely unrealistic head were out in sympathy. Although several scab Cybermen kept the series going, slipping through picket lines via small holes in the fabric of space-time. A mass meeting was called of the AAEAASPE, the Amalgamated Association of Evil Aliens Who All Speak Perfect English. They were addressed by their president, Mr. Crondor.
So, Doctor, what do we want? 12%!
The motion was passed on a show of tentacles. A 12% pay increase backdated to the beginning of the third aeon of the millennium of Tharg. In addition, they wanted to know why they'd failed to keep pace with inflation, why safety reviews had been postponed, and why all alien planets looked like a sandpit near Dorking. And their main complaint, that the moment any of them ever appeared fully on the screen, the closing credits immediately started.
The BBC also hit industrial trouble when in 1981 the production team of Blue Peter put in a pay claim of 20%, and then put in another one they'd made earlier.
So, what does Monday hold for the BBC? Signs are that one of the principal reasons for the strike is the widespread irritation with studio audiences who will apparently laugh at anything.
And now it's time for Gary's bit in the middle. And I'm always smiling in spite of the fact that nature has only given me one eyebrow which goes all the way across. And I'm always reading out from a script but trying to pretend it's in my own words. And basically this takes the form of me adding the word basically. So basically now it's time for ex-lead singer of the Smiths, Morrissey.
Woke up one morning, got out of bed the wrong side. Folded up the wet blankets and started to cry. Phoned up the Samaritans, two of them attempted suicide. Won't someone tell me why?
And like a wet weekend in Grimsby,
I'm the motorway service station of life.
But a voice like Clement Freud or Morgathorne.
I was looking for a job, but I found the job as a singing telegram. At funerals, oh such fun, 'cause I'm the boy who's a pain in the ass. I'm as happy as a pile sufferer with diarrhea at O-level whinging I came top of my class. And just what the doctor ordered if he prescribed euthanasia. La 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 la. People say that each year I crack a smile, but I'd rather, oh so very much rather, have a gobble from a piranha. 'Cause I'm the boy who's such fun to be with.
Everybody!
I'm celibate, teetotal and a veggie. Oh, come to a party where all my friends live. We'll have a great time at my local cemetery. I would go out tonight, but James Dean couldn't find a shroud to wear.
So I say unreservedly that the only way forward for the party is to embrace wholeheartedly the principles of the free market economy.
That was Neil Kinnock speaking in Brighton back in the year 1990 at the annual conference of the Young Conservatives. Now, some 6 years later and still with no success at the polls, the British left has shifted even further to the right. In an atmosphere of growing conservatism, we'll be hearing from some leading public figures. First, we spoke to the Prime Minister.
Neil, I must say that my colleagues and I here in Chesterfield are totally behind the building of a local concentration camp. Well, we've got to do something with the unemployed.
As a result of this tourification, many hardliners have faded from view. One of them is a man called Ken Livingstone.
Well, people always said I sounded like an accountant, so now I am an accountant. I'll be with you in a moment, Mr. Marcos.
Prominent figures once associated with the left have now substantially changed their viewpoint.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes indeed, ladies and gentlemen, Mrs Thatcher said something this week which brought a smile to my lips. She said I'd like to thank Ben Elton for all his continued support. Yes indeed.
Ben Elton there, the famous taxi driver. The spirit of charity, meanwhile, is not quite what it was.
Look, for God's sake, just send me all your money, right? Jesus Christ, I need at least £1 million if there's going to be any hope at all for my kitchen extension. Well, by the way, have you heard the one about the Ethiopian and the lunch voucher, right?
Factions once thought of as hard left have now softened considerably.
Socialist worker, alien turned my breasts into olives. Socialist worker, Karl Marx seen in shopping centre.
There is, however, one radical revolutionary figure who, back in the 1980s, one would never have expected to join ranks with the establishment.
Half is a devil, I'm setting up a neighbourhood watch scheme, off the devil. I think you're absolutely right to send Choo-Choo to the chair for hitching a lift on the back of a milk float, off the devil.
And now, my impression of Transport Minister Paul Shannon.
Oh no, flying's too dangerous. I don't want to fly. Oh my God, flying's all gone. I'm going to
Thanks, I'm Rob Newman, and please welcome Mark Thomas, yeah!
Hello everyone, this is the bit in the show where I come amongst you and discuss a topic of the week. The thing that really caught us, there's been loads of stuff going on recently in the news, and I thought one of the things that really sums up human stupidity is the fact that we are the only creatures on this planet, with the exception of cats, who are horrible because old people think they're relatives and go, hello. We are the only creatures who hunt for pleasure. We hunt for pleasure, that's crazy. A lion sees a zebra, that's meat. There's boom, they're over, they kill it, they eat it, that's it, it's meat. It's not social activity, it's not a game, it's not, oi, is that zebra looking at me?
Or a striper, you want to pull through what it is, I've got it.
We've got all the lionesses hanging around the outside going, Darren, don't do it! Darren, don't do it! Darren, don't do it! Crazy. You don't get groups of sharks ganging up and going, can you hear the tuna sing? No. I mean, I'm actually sort of like, a lot of huntsmen, especially sort of like the people who hunt foxes, are really sort of like disturbed by the Channel Tunnel. Because it means that the foxes from France and all the badgers, they're going to have rabies, they're going to come rushing through the tunnel, they'll spread it to the British foxes, who will then bite the people who are hunting them. Good. Because you see them run around, yikes away, there you go. You won't notice much difference in their behaviour before and after the disease. Weird stuff. What I'm amazed at is the fact that nature's durability, though. Because as people in the city here get richer and richer, as they're sort of like the little select few, they're getting their money, and they sod off out to their country homes. And the foxes see them and think, no, we'll move into the city. So they all rush back in, and that is really smart. Because you will never, ever see the Cheshire Hunt going through the Elephant and Castle. I've never seen it. Well, not since the Betty Ford Clinic, I haven't, anyway. And also, what's great, these foxes are really cunning. They're probably in these little sort of burrows in Dulwich going, well, when we bought the place in 1975... like, you know, coffee table books, like the Time Out Guide to Restaurant Refuge or something like that. It'd be brilliant. I think that, because I really love animals. I think British people do love animals. I really love them. At least I did till I had 15 quid on Durham Edition in the National. I'm sitting in front of the telly going, whip the sodding nag! You know, your horse falls and you're going, don't stand there, pick it up and run! Four horses died in that event. The thing should be sponsored by Evo Stick. Oh, man. Oh, the people who went, oh, I'm going to come and get them later on. So let's have, I tell you what, this is a weird one. This is a great piece of hypocrisy. Prince Philip is chairman of the World Wildlife Fund. Is it on his weekends? He's like, oh, there goes a little... sod, it's a panda. Never mind. All right, let's have a... how many people have actually been hunting? Have we got any hunters in? There's people out there going, don't say a word, darling, just don't say a word. look, darling, just put the copy of Country Life under your seat. Just hush up. Come on, darling. We've got no hunters at all. That's a shame, because I've got some acid. But anyway, Let's have a think. Actually, have we got anyone here who bets regularly on horses or dogs or anything like that? You do. Why do you just shout up into that bit over there? What's that?
Because I enjoy it.
Why do you enjoy it?
Well, chance of winning some money.
Chance of winning some money. No other kind of reason, just want to get rich slowly. If people were going to make money out of betting, Ladbrokes would have gone bust years ago. You'd have seen them sort of crowding around outside Leicester Square. Go, get Stan Beaver, I used to be ISPN. Oh, dear. So I'll take a quick vote on this one. How many people here think that blood sports shouldn't be banned?
Yeah.
Oh, we had one at the back. That was a decoy. I want to know why. Can you just offer an opinion why you think blood sports shouldn't be banned? No, she's just sitting there going, oh, my God. All right, just a brief recap. All those who think that blood sports should be banned, shout after three. One, two, three.
Yeah!
There we go. Thank you very much. Good night.
It's the Perry Whitehouse Experience.
Now, take a close look at this bag. It contained a very rare type of Lebanese cannabis. Saturday night, Thames Street, Greenwich. A drugs party is in full swing, little suspecting a well-orchestrated raid by Scotland Yard. This caused pandemonium, and in the confusion which followed, I lost my stash.
Picture this.
Tonight, we welcome Gary Plectrum from top band The Dirges.
Hi.
He's going to tell us a little about the band's new single and tour, and I will be translating the interview into English.
We think this is our best album.
This is our newest album.
We have a very wide range of influences.
We nick songs from just about everyone.
The album's got that raw feel.
The album is badly produced.
We're not an image band.
We're ugly bastards.
We don't want to be like Bros.
We don't want to be like Bros.
We're number one in Belgium.
We're crap.
We're number one in Yugoslavia.
We're complete crap.
We're number one in the US.
We're crap but rich.
On tour, we just go mad. Last week, Bozo totally trashed the hotel.
He broke an ashtray and stole two sachets of shampoo.
People accuse us of selling out, but we're just trying a new direction.
We've done a single with Stock, Aitken and Waterman. Next week, I'll be talking to an advertising copywriter about how a poster reading "It takes 8 pints of water to make 1 pint of beer" translates as "water's being privatised whether you like it or not, and you're bloody well going to buy shares if it kills us."
Picture this.
Hello, and welcome to the Agony Aunt Experience. I'm Jo Brand, and I hate people with problems. Well, piddling little problems, anyway. Problems like, should the hamster have a nose job? How can I pluck my eyebrows so I look like Dennis Healy? And should I have a perm for my grandmother's funeral? I think we should be addressing more serious problems, really, like violence. I'm not actually averse to a good punch-up myself, especially at the January sales. I never buy anything, I just go round hitting people. But I think the streets of London have become a lot more violent for women. Having used public transport over the years, I've become an expert on modern weaponry. Just because I've seen such a motley collection of penises on the tubes and buses. But enough of my hobbies, onto some... onto some real problems from some real publications. And here we have one from the News of the World. Dear Unity, I found recently when I put on my daughter's slimline Wellington boots that I got very sexually excited. Is this wrong? Well, Unity answers, no, it isn't wrong, but perhaps it would be a better idea to find a new man, because a man is much more fun than a Wellington boot. Well, I'm afraid I beg to differ there. And this is because my final year research dissertation at university was entitled An Ethno-Methodological Study of Man, Is He More Fun Than a Wellington Boot? And from my research, in which I compare the behaviour of a man and a Wellington boot in common social situations, I discovered, in fact, that the Wellington boot made much more effort to have a good time. At a party, for example, the man stayed in the kitchen all night, drank too much, fell over, and vomited all over the sausage rolls. Whereas the Wellington boot, on the other hand, mingled with the crowd in the hall, stayed upright, and didn't overdo it on the drink. So my advice is to carry on dating the Wellington boot. Next problem comes from Bella magazine, from a 20-year-old. I've only been out with 3 men. The last one was handsome and kind. He said he'd phone, but he didn't. I'm so desperate, I want to die. It's true. Because I don't want to remain single all my life. Well, I think it's fairly obvious, isn't it, that this poor girl has got herself involved with the sort of man I like to call a bit of a bastard. Men like this don't make good husbands, and women that marry them end up writing letters like the following one to the Sunday Mirror. Dear Virginia, my husband won't do anything around the house. The bathroom needs tiling, and I've been waiting a year for the kitchen cupboards to go up. He says he's tired all the time. Virginia Ironside suggests the woman does the decorating herself. Well, I absolutely agree. If you want the kitchen cupboards up, do it yourself. If you want the bathroom tiled, do it yourself. And if you want to have a successful sexual relationship, do it yourself.
You may know that Lord Rees-Mogg has been going around the country finding out what the great British public think about censorship. We thought we'd look at it from the BBC's point of view. Most censorship in the BBC centres on this production directive.
Four-letter words may only be used following reference to the Director General.
As in,
the Director General is in the shit.
Well, he is now. The directive goes on to say,
most people complain only when conventions are breached without warning and contrary to expectation.
It is widely held that this memo was issued after the following incident.
Boom, boom!
I say, Mr. Roy. I say, Mr. Roy, I do like your hand up my ass.
But before the war, things were very different. Here is an original directive issued by the BBC in 1937, and by the way, this is completely genuine.
The BBC wishes to make it clear that there is an absolute ban on the following. Jokes about lavatories, effeminacy in men, honeymoon couples, chambermaids, fig leaves, prostitution, lodgers, commercial travellers, ladies' underwear, for example, winter draws on, animal habits, for example, mother frightened by donkey, rabbits, in short, when in doubt, take it out.
Mrs. Now, the 1937 Code of Practice is to be brought back from midnight tonight. So it falls to the Mary Whitehouse Experience to do the last ever naughty sketch.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The lavatory. Have you got a room to let?
No, I've already got a lodger.
Hey, hey, lodger, hey.
She's a prostitute.
Hey, well, hey. Well, perhaps I can interest you in some ladies' underwear.
No, I've already got some on. Hey, hey, ducky.
Hello, I've just come to clean the room.
Ah, you'll be the chambermaid. Hey, hey.
No, I'm another effeminate man. It's January, and soon it'll be February, know what I mean?
Yes, I must put my winter drawers on. It's too cold with just this fig leaf.
Blimey, that honeymoon couple, they're like rabbits.
Oh, whatever do you mean?
They've got myxomatosis.
The latest guidelines for producers make this recommendation.
If a programme is going to include swearing, it should be clearly signposted.
Right, well, we will, of course, make sure that that recommendation is upheld. Anyway, the other day I was sitting suggestively on my,
When you hear the swear word, you and your family must take cover.
Bottom. On top of my boyfriend's face.
This is the Skint Video Experience. In the week that the broadcasting ban on Sinn Féin has been temporarily lifted, I give you the Reverend Ian Paisley.
Ye sons of Sodom! Raising the hoary back of Babylon in conjunction with the Beelzebub of the EEC, quaffing back your John Barleycorn's buttermilk, then spewing forth the devil's evil spawn and consorting with the wee little hobgoblins that hop on top of your head and go da 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 da. Tonight we present to you the Ulster Unionist's latest Lock at Your Boogie, Get Down and Kiss My Ass Tonight, Baby single. Busters wear all the orange fruit buns from Belfast and Glasgow. get together, perform on a giant benefit record, and call it Orangeade.
Yes, it's the record everyone's too scared to talk about. It's 40 Shades of Orange, featuring such stars as the Pet Shop Boys and Apprentice Boy George.
Oh, my old man's an orangeman, a bowler, has he sports. He carries an umbrella, and he puts on flags and shorts. He loves intimidation as he goes from door to door. He's got a skin disease, it's the rash his father wore.
Picture this.
And now it's time for our weekly comedy series, All Cozy at Home in the Family House. You remember that last week Mr. Cozy was forced into a round of golf with his truculent boss, despite the fact that his boss's handicap is that he doesn't have any arms. Uh-oh, how's he going to get out of this one? As the boss's wife once said when the boss put on a cardigan.
I wonder how Father's getting on the golf course. You know his boss is a terrible loser.
Yes, Mother, he lost both his arms.
Bloody hello.
Bloody hello, dear. How was golf with the boss?
Terrible. He sacked me.
What? Just for beating him at golf?
No, for hitting him violently around the face and neck with my 9-iron. Still, everyone, gather round. I've got an important announcement to make. I'm afraid we're going to have to sell the house.
Oh, no.
Yes. Now, as you know, it's a buyer's market, so I put it on the market for £10. But it's all right. I've got a transfer.
Oh, good. Where is it?
On my pencil case. It's a small lick-on picture of Popeye.
But, Father, where are we going to live?
It's all right. The estate agents found us a lovely new place. Centrally located with a river view and very near to the tube.
Oh, that sounds marvellous.
Yes, it's a cardboard box under Waterloo Bridge. I know it's a bit of a come-down, but once we're there, I don't want to see any let-up in the cosy traditions of suburban values and respectability.
I'm drunk and I'm smelly. I've got vomit down my shirt. Lenny's 10p gone for a cup of tea.
Darling, there's really no need. I'll make you a cup of tea.
Sorry, darling. Just trying to blend in with the neighbours.
Actually, though, I can't seem to find the teapot or the tea or the oven or the stand-up fridge freezer or our daughter.
It's all right, Mother. I saw her floating face down in the Thames just now.
Oh, thank God for that. I thought she'd become a prostitute.
Look, for God's sake, everyone, our world is crumbling. We've got to do something cosy. I'm going to have a friendly tiff with the neighbours. Now listen, old man. What time do you think you were up to last night? Can't anyone get any sleep around here?
You calling me a bitch's bastard? You calling me a bitch's bastard? Here, lads, he's calling me a bitch's bastard!
Mother, Father's being torn limb from limb by a mob of tramps.
Oh, dear. I'd better put the kettle on.
Hello.
Hello, Vicar.
Is everything all right?
Well, daughter's dead, father's just been brutally massacred, and I've got hypothermia.
Oh, good. You know, it's at times like these that I always like to take comfort from a very particular passage. Yours. I might be able to fix you up with a bed at the YMCA. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Vicar. What a nice man.
What on earth's that?
It's the doorbell, silly.
But we haven't got a door.
No, but the one thing I saved from our old house was the doorbell apparatus. And now I just sit here all day pressing it in the hope that somehow the door will open back to our old world. Well, it is wonderful to be back in our own house.
Hello.
Hello.
Father, daughter, how come you're alive again?
Well, thanks to the good work of Booper and some help from the tramps in the way of kidneys and lungs, we're both as right as rain.
But do you know, all we need now to suggest that we're really home is for the doorbell to ring and for it to be Mr. Frobisher from next door holding up a squashed begonia in the vexed belief that we parked our Volvo on it. That'll be him now.
I'll get it. Hello, Mr. Frobisher.
I've come for me kidney, you bitches bastard.
Uh-oh. How will Mr. Cozy get out of this one? How will Charlie Boy get his kidney out of Mr. Cozy?
Tune in next week and find out in All Cozy at Home in the Family House.
You've been listening to The Mary Whitehouse Experience. It was written and performed by David Baddiel, Rob Newman, Steve Punt, Hugh Dennis, Joe Brand, Mark Thomas and Skint Video. The producer was Bill Dare.